And good evening, folks, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you, as usual, live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday evening, November 2nd here. We've rolled out of October. We have just blown into November here like nobody's business. And here we are, November 2nd, 2017. The days are getting shorter, although time flies by and it is dark as I look out the window at the Radio Ranch here. It's a beautiful day today. We have had some wind, almost hurricane wind here the last couple days, 70, 80 mile an hour gusts. But that's just a little bit of fall wind here. You have those things down on the coast, Texas, Louisiana, and Georgia and Florida. They call them hurricanes down there. But up here, hey, the wind is dry and thin and it just blows. And we've sure had that the last couple days. Been good, been inside, other than feeding some cows and keeping them watered up. Been working on the newsletter the last day or two, Volume 8. And we're hoping to get that thing printed and in the mail to you just as quick as we can. We appreciate your prayers for that. And thanks for tuning in. We'll have the phone lines open tonight. Give you the number. It's 307. 745-5913. That's 307-745-5913. Got a lot of current events going on. Thought I'd touch base on some of those tonight, kind of give you my thoughts on those. And perilous times we live in. They certainly are. If there's ever been a time, and I think we said this last week and last month and last year, and we will continue to say it because if it applies. If there's ever been a time to being a praying people, to being prayed up, to having that full armor of God put on and prayed on your family, it's today. The headlines, shootings, cars crashing into people on purpose. We are seeing the terrorist attacks that we have read about and seen for years in Europe. We're seeing them come to America now. The days are not the same as they used to be. Well, let's start out. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. That is something we should always do. We encourage you. Hopefully you're doing it every morning. We're going to do it here before the broadcast. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for a good day here at the Radio Ranch. Thank you for your blessings on your remnant, Lord, all across this land and all across this world. Thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. The name above all names, the only name in which there is salvation. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came and went to that cross on Calvary. That for the joy that you saw, Lord, what would be going on today with your people. You saw the need of your people, and we thank you that for the joy set before you, went willingly to be beaten, to be cursed, to die a horrible death for us. And Lord, we thank you most of all for that, for that you have redeemed us, that you have given us the opportunity to come back into a relationship with our Creator God. Thank you. Thank you. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to dwell within me tonight, to give me the thoughts and the words to present out as we read from your word, as we talk about the current events. Lord, the things, the way they are today, are not the way they're supposed to be. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for allowing them to be this way. Forgive us for turning from you and your word and your will and your way. For Lord, this is what we get when we look out across the land today, across the news reports, the deaths, the wrecks, the natural disasters. Lord, forgive us. Father, we ask for national forgiveness, and Father, I ask for personal repentance. Lord, I repent before you. I ask, Lord, that you would forgive me of my sins, known and unknown. Lord, forgive me if I've been deceived. Forgive me if I have deceived. Lord, I desire your will. That is this ministry's will, and that is the will of those of us here. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, for the work, the sweat and the tears and the years and the endurance, Lord, that he put into this ministry, Lord, building it certainly on the foundation of Jesus Christ. but Lord, building it on the truth of your word. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, strengthen us as we continue on to continue to build on that foundation, to continue to put your true gospel story out, Lord, to your true people. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, be with us tonight. Be with your remnant as they tune in. And Lord, as their day winds down, as they go and finish their dinner, Lord, and hopefully give you thanks and wind down their day, Lord, I pray for the remnant that you would give them a blessed evening, Lord, a blessed night's sleep of rejuvenation and recovery. And Father, I pray for Pastor Dave Barley and his wife Martha. Lord, as they are mourning for the loss of their son. Father, we pray, and in Jesus' name, Father, we commission angels to go and to be about the Barley family, Lord, to strengthen them, to comfort them in this time of sorrow, in this time of mourning. Heavenly Father, we praise you, as your word says, the God of all comfort, who has comforted us. And Lord, we pray your comfort upon them as well. Let those that are there with them, Lord, be not as Job's friends, but Lord, as give their friends the words and the direction to comfort the Barleys. Strengthen them to get through this time. And Lord, as each day comes anew, I pray your strength and your grace and your peace to be upon them. Help them draw near to you and near to one another in their family. Father, we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. And amen. And did have an announcement this week that Pastor Barley's 19-year-old son, Michael, I believe, had passed away this past Sunday. So we do ask you to keep Pastor Barley and his family in your prayers. And we trust our God to bring that comfort to them. We do. Well, where to start? Where to start? Don't really recommend movies. I got an email today that did recommend a movie. And I haven't even had a chance to look it up. I'll mention it to you tonight. It's called Let There Be Light. Said it came in second in the U.S. box office. Hit the theaters on the 27th. And says it's an honest film with solid faith and family values. Quality film. So, got the email from a brother in Christ. We really don't go out to the movies. It's very rare that we get out to a movie. There is another movie that's out that I would like to go see, and it's a movie called Only the Brave, and it's a movie based on a book about the Yarnell 19, the 19 hotshots that were overrun in fire a couple years ago down in Yarnell, in a large fire there. And so I read the book that this movie is based on. If it follows true to the book, it's a gritty book. It wasn't a Christian book, but it was a story of redemption. I can tell you that. I learned years ago not to recommend movies. I learned that from our pastor. I had the opportunity to grow under his tutelage and to learn. To grow and to mature a little bit. A couple movies that have come to our attention again, that Let There Be Light, a new faith-based Christian value movie that's out. And then another one about wildland firefighters, Only the Brave. Haven't had a chance to see it yet. Don't get out to the theaters. But we'll see if we can. We'll see if we can. Well, as we mentioned at the beginning, we we are to be, as the Word tells us, what sort of people, or I should say as the Word asks us that question, what sort of people ought we to be, seeing the times that we're in? And folks, I tell you, we are to be a praying people. We are to be prayed up and have that full armor prayed on. Have one other prayer here I want to pray, and it's the pistol prayer. Pastor developed this years ago. We are seeing it being answered. Try to pray it at least every Sunday morning at our scriptural review of the news when we start a church service, but let's pray it now. Lord Jesus, we pray, with thy authority we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be, and thank you. Thank you for the victory. Amen. And we are seeing that happening. We are seeing, the things that have been done in the darkness up in D.C., that the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, has done. Even back during the election and further before then. They're telling their secrets. Did you see that today, last couple days? They're turning on each other once again. It was reported out that they were even conspiring to get the Democratic nomination for Hillary and conspiring against Bernie. Because that's what they do. They cut each other's throats. They don't care. But see those things, and it's always been that way, but those things are coming out. They're coming out to light. This pistol prayer, the DC sorcery, it is ceasing. It's like we read, awake, awake, O Zion. Awake, awake, we read that in Isaiah. That, see, the people are waking up. The sorcery, well, the spells aren't working. The knots, they're coming loose. They're coming loose. It's like the joke about the knot. You know, Pastor talked about how these spells in the past, he talked about how these spells are like, the enemy's like, it's like they tie knots with the truth and with these spells. And it becomes spells on the people. It's like the piece of rope that went into a bar and ordered a beer. And the bartender says, no, you know we don't serve rope in here. So he leaves. He comes back the next day, that piece of rope, and he orders a beer. The bartender says, I told you, we don't serve ropes in here. So the piece of rope says, I'll get this. He goes out and he ties himself all up, and on his end he, you know, shuffles his top of his head, the end of his rope up real big, and he walks back in, and the guy says, I can't serve you beer. He says, aren't you a rope? And the rope says, afraid not. See, these knots are being frayed. These spells, little humor there. These spells, though, that the enemy have been spinning, they're coming unfrayed. We're seeing it in D.C. We are seeing it in Hollywood. One of the lines here in the pistol prayer, with all idols be cast down. Praise God, these Hollywood idols are being exposed. These filthy Antichrist Hollywood producers are being exposed for the filthy pedophile sex perverts that they are. Praise God. Praise God that they are. He answers our prayers, folks. But are you praying? Will you pray? If he'll answer our prayers to let the DC sorcery cease, and he has. And we're seeing it being broken down. Did it just happen overnight? No. It is a gradual thing as the people's hearts turn back to him, turn back to our God. We see this change taking place. Well, folks, you'll do that if you'll pray for yourself as well. If you'll pray for your family, if you'll pray the Lord's Prayer, if you will pray and put on the full armor of God, and then pray it on your family, pray it on your children. You've heard testimonies from this ministry time and time and time and time again of the protection, of the answer that God has given, the good, positive answer God has given to those prayers for our wives and our children and our families. But the prayers get prayed. And they have to be prayed. And then you have to do. We do have to be doers of the word. So I encourage you to be those doers. Pray. Pray believing. Pray believing. With all idols be cast down. Baals be broken and bound. And they are. And they are. Didn't get the... I don't have a calendar here in front of me, other than the Bible reading calendar. And I don't think I marked... I think the 12th. Coming up November 12th, I got an email said... apparently everybody's supposed to boycott the NFL. Not watch any games. I guess that's close to Veterans Day. Not watch any games or anything like that on TV. And we'll see. See, things are changing, folks. Prayers are being answered. It's a good thing. That doesn't mean our job is over. It means we're moving out of pre-kindergarten into kindergarten now with our prayers and being doers of the word. Hope you see that. Hope you see that. I guess here in current events, I guess the Astros won the World Series. 7 games. Imagine that. Stretch it all the way out to 7 games. Interesting how that happens. Did see another thing that was reported in the previous quarter of 2017 that, another, not just starting, but another million people have cut off their cable TV. Another million people. Not just a couple hundred thousand, but another million. See, that means there's been a million or more before this last quarter that have turned their cable TV off. We did that about 21 years ago now. We turned our cable TV off about the time just after we became Christians. Didn't have time for it. Couldn't stand the programming. And oh, when we see bits and pieces of it today, whether you're out eating lunch somewhere and they have a TV on something like that, and oh, it reminds me of Rip Van Winkle waking up after so many years and he doesn't recognize anything and everything has changed. Well, TV has as well, that filthy, ungodly programming. So praise God, another million have turned it off. I encourage you, families, turn it off. Turn it off. Save your money on that cable bill. Save your money. Had another email this week, interesting email. Since Houston won the World Series, and I have to tell you, I didn't watch any of the games. Don't have cable TV or satellite TV to do that. Maybe you did. And well, folks, and also the phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. But got this little graph, and it kind of was going around the internet called The Tale of Two Cities, and it compares Chicago to Houston. And I'll send it to you. I printed it out and may try to include it in this next Volume 8 newsletter. But we did print it out and have it right here, and I'd be glad to make a copy and send it to you if you'd like. You contact me and say, hey, I'd like that graph that compares Chicago and Houston. Their population, about the same, a little over 2 million people. Medium home income, about the same, $38,000, $37,000. Percentages of minorities, comparable. Not the same, but comparable. And so those things, population, income, minority breakdown, very, very comparable until you get to something else. How about concealed carry? It is not legal in Chicago. In Houston, it is. Gun stores, gun shops. In Houston, none. I mean, in Chicago, none. In Houston, the graph says 184 dedicated gun stores, plus 1,500 more legal places to buy guns. Walmart, Kmart, sporting goods stores, things like that. Big difference. Big difference. 5 years ago, the homicides in Chicago, and we know they have exploded. It has been more dangerous to be in Chicago than it has been to be in Fallujah or Afghanistan. But 5 years ago, in 2012, there were over 1,800 homicides in Chicago. There were just a little over 200 in Houston. Big difference. Big difference. Homicides per 1,000 people, per 1,000 residents, 38 homicides per 1,000 residents in Chicago, only 9.6 in Houston. Now, these are just facts. You call it what you want. See, we can look to the leadership or lack of leadership with these kinds of facts. And what's done about it? The finger's pointed to everybody else. It is lawlessness that we see there. That we see the difference between Houston and this was now, this was five, up till 5 years ago, Houston and Chicago. Well, we know Houston, not praising Houston too much. We know they've had their fair share of ungodly leadership. Certainly they have. But those types of facts are hard to look away from and hard to deny. And so it is that way. It is. And you know that lawlessness, at least I think, maybe I'm the only one that thinks that those shootings, those killings, that murder, sometimes you think, well, that's just the big city. Well, the big city of Manhattan got it, didn't they? And our people try to be so politically correct. Our people are so scared for fear of the, what is it the Bible talks about? For fear of the, I did a little commentary on that just a month or a couple months ago. For fear of the, and of course the Bible says for fear of the Jews, but it's for fear of everybody else. What we if I don't say the right thing? And so this terrorist, this Haji Raghead Muslim Antichrist bastard that rented the Home Depot truck and plowed through pedestrians and killed him. The bastard should have been shot right on sight by the New York police about 14 times. And then, well, anyway. See, he's reported in the news as a man from Florida. He's a man from Florida, moved to New Jersey. What's his name? Lakwakwakmakhalaba Safulo Habaluavga Saipov. Oh, just another guy from Florida. You know, I'm from Florida. Richard, I'm from Florida. I don't know about Saifulo Habibulavek Sayapov. Yelling Allah Akbar as he gets out of the truck. This is war, folks. Can we not see it? We say, well, not in my hometown, right? Not here. I don't have it. How about in, the Fort Hood massacre back in 2009? Nidal Malik Hassan. See, he was a Virginia man. He's just a guy from Virginia. The Boston Marathon bombing. Tamerlan Anzorovich Sarnev and Dihokar Sarnev. See, they were just Massachusetts men like Bill Smith and John Johnson. Okay. The San Bernardino slaughter, remember that back in 2015 by Syed Rizwan Farouk and Tashfin Malik? And you think I'm profiling here? These are all raghead Muslim terrorists that we have let in. And I should say that our God has brought in because of our sin. That's the bottom line. And they will continue to come in as long as we have. Well, as long as we continue to sin as a people. How about Omar Mir Sadiq? The Orlando nightclub back in June of 16. Oh, he was in New York, man. How about the Ohio State car knife attack by Abdul Razik Ali Artan? Oh, he was just an Ohio man. You know, my wife's from Ohio. Her grandfather, McFarland. That was an Ohio man, not Abdul Razak Ali Artan. Oh, wait, now here was another killing by an Ohio man. The Charlottesville car attack by James Alex Field. Now, he was an Ohio man. Oh, wait, and I'm getting this off this news article that Ann Coulter had, I guess, yesterday. Little sarcasm in there. Anyway. How long? How long? So if you live in Manhattan, it's still coming to you. If you live in Boston, yeah, you got it there. Fort Hood, yeah, remember you got there. Oh, even on the east west coast, San Bernardino, don't forget those guys. Down in Orlando, Florida, Ohio, Charlottesville. It's called lawlessness, folks. How you like that? How you like that? Well, we had a bit of that here. We are seeing it out here in the mountains, out here in the west, not the west of California, that's too far west, but the west of Colorado, we're seeing it. Had back on October 18th, just down in Fort Collins, not 20 minutes from where the church is, had a shooting just a couple weeks ago on October 18th, a double murder and then a suicide, military, couple of military guys, worked together in a business, worked together in military, and then one of their girlfriends. We've got friends and family down there, real close. And then, of course, I'm sure you heard of the Thornton or Denver Walmart shooting, that are still, they still don't have any reasoning why. Was looking this up, been kind of trying to follow it to try to find a reason. I talked with other people from our church and people down there, and nobody's heard. They're down in Colorado, and they haven't heard. I haven't seen anything else on the news. Man walks into Walmart, pulls a gun out, and just starts shooting people with a blank look on his face. And then turns around and walks back, walks out. And, of course, they got cameras everywhere, and they ID him within a few hours from the facial recognition software. He'd had a few run-ins with police before, so I'm sure they had him in mugshots and whatnot. And then, this morning, they're at his apartment, which is about 20 minutes away from the Walmart, and he's not there. But while the police are there, he drives by. Now, this was a white guy. This wasn't some Abdul Falik Salim something. But it's lawlessness. We see it rampant in our land. We need to see it for what it is. Had one series of news reports I saw this afternoon. I have to Google them and see what CNN or Fox or Channel 9 or just whoever has on there. And one thing caught my attention. It said shoppers pulled guns in response to Thornton Walmart shooting, but police say that slowed the investigation. And I read on through this, and it said, when a gunman opened fire in a Walmart in Thornton Wednesday night, shoppers screamed and ran for cover, and others pulled out their own handguns. See, Denver is a no-carry city. But Colorado, they issue concealed carry permits, and they recognize other states. They're part of, I think, the 33-state group agreement that recognizes each other's concealed carry. And so it doesn't say how many, but apparently there was nobody there close enough to do anything to stop him from killing these three people. That's too bad. I saw a bumper sticker one time. I wish I had some. I may have to get some made, but I wish I had one. I saw it one time, and it says, only good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns. Only good guys with guns stop bad guys with guns. And so I hope you realize that. I know I'm not really preaching tonight, but it's preaching to the choir, as they say, telling you stuff that's not new to you. But I thought it was interesting, the news report here. You know, although authorities said, quote, a few individuals. Although authorities said, quote, a few, quote, individuals drew handguns, they posed no physical hazard to officers. but their presence slowed the process of determining who and how many suspects were involved. They interviewed one lady in there, and she said, why wouldn't they draw their gun and shoot him? And it's not that simple of a thing. You've been through firearms classes, and when you've spoken with police officers that help teach those firearm classes, it's not just as simple as that. It's not. This woman they interviewed said she owns a gun but didn't have it with her. She and her husband are going to the shooting range to practice firing the weapon. Anyway, it's good to see there were some there. And you know, the killings are not just here. We see it just all over. Got this just this past week, right in Las Vegas. A Hispanic man, but he's going to church. He's arriving for a Bible study early in the morning, about 5:30. He's got up, works. He's a legal immigrant, and going to church, and he's just shot and robbed. It looks like right there in Vegas last week. Do we remember that just outside of Friendship Baptist Church back in August, two men coming up to church on Sunday morning, drive by, bam, 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 they're shot dead. And then the month before that, in Antioch, Tennessee, a man walks in, kills one, and injures others at a church, at Burnett Chapel Church of Christ in Antioch, Tennessee, right at the end of the morning service. So, it is rampant in the land. Why? Why are we seeing all this? You know, our Bible reading plan, let me find that counter. Bible reading plan this week has been Deuteronomy. And been quite interesting reading through it. Our reading today, Deuteronomy 16, 17, 18, and 19. And it talks about things that, well, many times we don't think that they apply today. 16, the feasts, Passover, weeks, and of booths. And I encourage you to read through that. And it talks about it, you know, different times of the year that we are, of what we are to do. We are to worship our God. We are to recognize that He is the giver of the blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, it talks about the administration of justice. And again, you can read through this. It gives us an understanding of how things are supposed to be. And we see it in contrast to how things are today. Deuteronomy 18 talks about, the portion of the Levites, the priests. And it also has another, you know, from verse 9 in Deuteronomy 18 through the end, it talks about that you're not to have a spiritus. You're not to allow or imitate, as it says, the detestable things of the nations. Well, see, we don't go and invade other nations. We don't go and take over other nations as they did back in the Old Testament. No, today the other nations come upon us. But still the warning is there. Don't be, like it says in verse 9, when you enter the land which the Lord the God, which the Lord your God gives you, and we might say today, when those of the other lands come to you, as they have, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. But we have. It's as simple as that. We have. We have let every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every Shinto and Buddhist and Allah worshiper and atheist and Queen of Heaven worshiper and anything and everything goes in here. And it's all promoted and given special days in our public education system, and given the people that worship these false gods are given special rooms to worship their false god in. But Jesus and the true God, he can't be mentioned. You offend people if you mention Jesus Christ. Had a brother text me just before the program tonight, and he said, didn't make a friend telling her homosexuality is against God's law. Well, you might not have, but you know, brother, you might have saved her soul. You just don't know. You might have planted the right seed. The right seed, that because she probably was never told that before, that homosexuality is a sin. It is an abomination before God. Greed and adultery, fornication, sex outside of marriage, false set of scales. Okay? Those things are an abomination to God. And you might think, oh, well, that, what does that mean? Look at the lawlessness around us. We're not up to Deuteronomy 28. Won't get to it until we roll back through Deuteronomy again. The blessings and the curses. But you read Deuteronomy 28 from verse 15 till the end. If we do not obey His word, and we are living that today because we are not obeying His word. We talk about this land, this new J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, and that's what we are. Definitely. And we know that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people are the Hebrew, the Israel people of the Bible. The Anglo-Israel truth. We know that. But see, with that comes great responsibility. That we are the people that when we find out that we are the people, well, we have to return to Him. You ever hear 2 Chronicles 7:14? That's the promise He makes to us when we will do that. Brother, that mentioned this, that you said you didn't make a friend today, good. Good. You might have saved her soul. You might again have planted that seed. And see, that is each and every one of our jobs, is to certainly with salt, as the Bible says, and doing all things in love, for sure. Because we love Him who loved us first. And He loves His people. Our God loves His people as just as He loves us. Parents out there, we as parents have a semblance of that type of the love that Christ has for His children. We have a portion of that for our children, a love for our children. We think, oh, there couldn't be a greater love. I love my children more than anything else in the world. Well, there are other things in the world. God, we only get to experience that in a portion. But you know, sometimes parents, you have children that are doing right and children that are doing wrong. You still love them. You still love them. You want and you pray for them, those that are off the straight and narrow. You pray for them to get back on. But you still love them. Do you see how that is a reflection of the love that God and Jesus Christ has for His people? It's not the hate the sin and love the sinner, but in a way it is, because we were all sinners. And we have to remember that Christ died for us when? While we were sinners and slaves to sin, or after we were saved and slaves and friends of Christ? When did He die for us? When did He do that? Remember, it was while we were yet sinners. And so we have to be like this brother that texted me. And we have to tell, again, with salt and with a little bit of salt, let our speech be seasoned with a little bit of salt, so it's palatable, so it can be received, so it's good to those that receive it. And of course, we're to do all things in love. And if we don't do them in love, you just don't do them, because it won't work. It's as simple as that. But we are to warn. How many of you have heard it from? You've heard John talk about how in Ezekiel we're doing our best to answer that call, to be that watchman, to warn the people. That is what our pastor did. His whole preaching career was to warn, to tell the people who they are, and to see that this Bible, this Deuteronomy that we're reading, the justice, the portion, the spiritualism, the laws, statutes, and judgments, it applies to us. It applies to us. But guess what? The obedience has to apply to us. The blessings apply to us. We have to be doers. We need to be doing. We need to be doing more, folks. We need to be praying. We need to be reading His Word, and we need to be applying His Word. And we need to be reaching out. We need to be reaching out. We need to get out of our comfort zone, they say. Get out of our comfort zone where we're comfortable. Well, I read a little Bible, and I listen to the radio, and I come to church, or I watch the church, or I do this and that. And yeah, God is good. He's blessed me, and we're there. We are good, and I've been there. But we've got to get out of our comfort zone, folks. We can get there. We're like, sometimes we find ourselves like that ship that's in port, and it's safe, you know? And a ship in port is usually safe. Maybe not with a hurricane coming, but most of the time, a ship in port is safe. And sometimes, don't we find ourselves that way? We've got our little circle of friends and business associates and things we do and our schedule, and we're good. We're good. We need to do more. We need to get out of our comfort zone. See, a ship in port is safe, but that's not what ships were made for. Okay? That's not what ships were made for. And that's not what we were made for. We certainly were made to, and how thankful we should be and how thankful we are that God has opened our eyes to who we are. And to His Word, and to the truths of His Word, and we're no longer deceived and carried about on the waves, and carried about, you know, we're no longer like children believing anything and everything we hear. We have a foundation. We have that wisdom and discernment. Well, let's put it to use. Let's put it to use again with a little bit of salt and with love in introducing this friend of ours and letting people know why Chicago is such a mess, why we're having these shootings, and this lawlessness is everywhere. And it is everywhere. Every little town you look in. The opioid crisis, thousands, what, over 90 to 100 a day? Americans, 90 to 100 a day, and most of them are Caucasians. 90 to 100 a day are dying of opioid overdoses alone. And that's everywhere. That's not just in Houston or Denver or Chicago. Why? Why? The Word tells us that all of creation groans at the revealing of the sons of man, at the sons of God. Why would that be? Because things are not the way they're supposed to be. The birth pangs, all creation experiences that. The natural disasters, the storms, the fires, the hurricanes that we're seeing, the volcanoes. Boy, they're talking Yellowstone. Oh, it's due again. We missed it by a few hundred years. It's due. There's another big volcano over, what, in the Netherlands, in Greenland. No, in Greenland, I think. Not the Netherlands, in Greenland. That's fixing to blow. We talked about that a few months ago. All creation is groaning. So what do we do? Rise to the occasion, man of God. Where you're at, with what God has put before you. Been reading a book by Phil Robertson. Got a couple of them in, and had an interesting quote. Thought I'd share it with you tonight. Let me get over there to it. It's a book. I know they've done several of them. You guys know who they are. Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty. Which I guess is not on anymore, but ran for a few seasons. But he has a book out. It's probably been out for a while. I just got it, but I usually don't get them when they first come out. See if I see a. May 13, first hardcover. So it's not too old. Yeah, 2013. I like how he does the beginning of it. It says. He dedicates this to his four sons, and then a quote, "Let them revere nothing but religion, morality, and liberty." And that is an excerpt from a letter from John Adams to his wife Abigail Adams regarding their two sons on April 15, 1776. And the more I read about Phil Robertson, the more I like him. The more I see that no, he doesn't have it all figured out, but none of us do, but he is a godly man. Well, here's a quote. He's talking about his family business, and when you read through and you hear his story, it didn't come overnight. We've always enjoyed watching the Duck Dynasty and kind of getting to know at least these people as they've been portrayed, and have seen them in other avenues and venues, and it's encouraging to see Christian people out there, people that aren't afraid to pray in Jesus' name. Quick quote here as we wrap the night up. And he says here, the Duck Commander has come a long way, but it hasn't been easy. Somehow we stayed the course, and it turned out. There is a God, and he blessed us because we did what was right. We loved him, we loved our neighbor, and we hunted ducks. He is real, and what he said he would do is what happened. He said, you love me and do what's right, and I'll bless you. So much so that your barns will be full, packed full, tapped down, and running over. And he says, all I can say is that I'm leaning toward the Almighty doing exactly what he said he would do. He goes on and says, the Almighty blessed us. Duck Commander did work just like he, God, said it would. And so I wanted to share that with you because it, now he talks about it being a 20-year ordeal. He was not a godly man, but he repented. He got baptized for the remission of sins. And he worked. He persevered. He endured. And he was blessed. And the people that have been around them have been blessed. And I encourage you, Remnant, to be that way. To be a blessing to those that are around you. Okay? To not hesitate. Certainly to pray about it. See, and this brother that texted me that said he told this person about homosexuality being a sin. I can guarantee you he's thought about this. He's prayed about it before. And he might have failed a test before, but he passed this one. We've all failed tests before, but you know we can strive to do better and to pass the next test. And that's what we want to do. The Word tells us to be ready to give a defense of our beliefs, to give a defense of the gospel, to not that it needs, it's the truth. It really needs no defending. But our people that are out there that are lost, they need to know. They need to know this truth that we have been blessed with. We're doing our best to get it out to them. On a national basis and a worldwide basis, we do our best to get it out to them individually as well. And that's where we count on you, folks, Remnant. Out there from Sarasota, Florida, to Fairbanks, Alaska, and every place in between. Well, we're just about out of time. Want to make sure we invite you to come back and join us on Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. I'm sure we'll have some more comments about these shootings and what seems to be going on, and then this November 4th, that's Saturday. That's we've been hearing some rumblings and seeing some of this trash coming out from the Antifa or whatever the latest group is. Ramrod sent me a note today, said the New York Times had a full page article, a full page ad about November 4th. The Civil War begins. Well, Christians, we know we've been at war, and we know who our King is that leads us in that war. Well, again, we're going to wrap up tonight. If you want to write to us, Our email address, if you want to send an email, is preacher@sfaw.org. preacher@sfaw.org. And our mailing address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We'll go out with a song from my buddy Chris from a little while back. Let me get it set. I'll call him Jesus.
I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. Well, the world pretends to be educated. So they say you gotta say it this or that way. Well, the world may say I'm dumb, but can you tell me one thing? Why does Jesus answer anyway? So I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. In the name of Jesus, I sought forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, it was granted to me. Sins forgiven, washed by the blood. Jesus on the cross because of his love. And in that name they baptized me. And my God's mighty powerful. Yet he speaks to me in a still small voice. In all my prayers I've never heard him say, you're saying it wrong, won't you say it this way? But instead he comforts me. So I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. So I'll call him Jesus. That's a name that works for me. That's a name that washed me, redeemed me, set me free. That's a name my grandpa preached about. The name that drives Satan out. The name of Jesus works for me. The name of Jesus works for me.